Which means that we should be conscious of him. We should be aware of him. And we should protect ourselves from his punishment and his wrath. And we shouldn't allow ourselves to die except in a state of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I begin my khutbah by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost to send blessings and prayers to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa ni'm wa barik ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. One of the beauty of our religion is the fact that spreading this Islam is the responsibility of every single one of us. Spreading our deen is not limited to the scholars and the mashayikh, are not limited to special or small group of people. We all share that responsibility of spreading our deen. And subhanAllah, in today's khutbah, I'm going to be talking about someone who is the most famous and respected Muslim in the United States. The most famous and respected Muslim who says La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah in this land, in this country. And this man is Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali has a unique story since his childhood. In today's khutbah, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to give you an overview about his life and then lessons that we can glean from his life and time. So he was born in Louisiana, in the South, deep South, as an African American. And if you were thinking about the 1900s, at that time it was so hard to be black. It was very hard to be black at that time. And Muhammad Ali, one time he was riding his bike and he got, you know, robbed. Someone robbed his bike. So he picked up the phone and he called the police to report this incident. And then the answer he got is, don't fight next time. So Muhammad Ali at that time realized that he lives in a world where he has to step up for himself. He has to watch for himself. He has to build up himself. And so he got into boxing. And then at the age of 18, Muhammad Ali won his first Olympic gold medal. That was an earth-shattering for so many people. He's an African-American Muslim who's winning that medal, and that's something very unique. And so, years after that, fast forward a little bit, Muhammad Ali got in a big trouble where he was stripped of everything he did. The medal, he was banned from boxing. And I want you to just imagine this. A little child, or now he's 19 or 20, young man, who finally made it, and then all of a sudden, now he has to go back to where he was. No money, no fame, no success. Now he's struggling with a huge financial crisis. Now, everything is taken away from him. Years after, he was 32. At that time, he decided to go back to boxing. And everyone was telling him, you know what? It's too late. You're getting older now. You will be slower and you will be weaker. But Muhammad Ali was insistent to go back. So he actually went for a final match for the world champion boxing. against someone, a big boxer at that time with the name of Frazier. Every single one is telling him, you know what, you cannot make it. You will be defeated. And so he started this match, and he actually lost. So I want you to just think about, put yourself in Muhammad Ali's shoes. All of this injustice committed against me. And now I wanted to start my career at a very old age, and I get this first hit. So everyone telling me, like, you know what? This is a time for you to actually retire. There's no way you can make it. That's it. You're 33 now. And in, you know, in boxing language, 33 is old age. The usually, you know, at the age of 20, early 20s, that's your peak. But at 33, now you're getting, you know, you're getting off that track of being a solid boxer. But Muhammad Ali did not give up. And he did not give up, and this is, I want your attention here. Muhammad Ali did not give up because he loved boxing that, like, so much, and he wanted that career. Boxing was not his ultimate purpose. Boxing for Muhammad Ali was not his ultimate purpose. He had a greater purpose than boxing. Boxing for Muhammad Ali was the vehicle where he wanted to reach at some point Islam to be spread all over this country. That was his purpose. And so he started this matches, and he won a couple of matches, and he started to get stronger and stronger. And one time before this fight, in a press conference, the opponent rejected to call him Muhammad Ali. He kept calling him Cassius Clay. And he told him, this is not my name. That's not my name. Don't call me Cassius Clay. My name is Muhammad Ali. And he insisted to call him one more time Cassius Clay. And he had so much pride. He took so much pride and honor in his faith. So he told him, you know what? I will make you say my name in the ring. And in this fight, as he's knocking him down, he told him, what's my name? Say my name. I want you to watch that. And just someone who's so proud of his identity as Muslim, he wasn't shy to say, you know, his name in public. He wasn't shy to pray in public. He wouldn't, you know, be embarrassed to say, my name is Muhammad. My name is Muhammad. My name is not Mo. I wouldn't embarrassed to, you know, say my full name. I would say my full name. I'm a Muslim and I'm proud of being Muslim. So Muhammad Ali had that mentality. On every single conversation, Muhammad Ali has to bring Islam. Has to bring Islam in the conversation. We're talking about 1900 brothers and sisters. No one even knows what Islam is in America. That's something not really popular. So people didn't know what this guy is talking about. And he did not shy away from that. So fast forward a little bit. Muhammad Ali, that was his peak towards the end of his career. Muhammad Ali understood the words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best amongst you are those who are beneficial to others. So he said, I will go one more time because I lost from Frazier. Now my last opportunity. I'll go for a final match. For a final match. His age now is 33. And he is going to play and fight against who? Against George Foreman. For those who are, you know, have knowledge about boxing, you guys know what I'm talking about. George Foreman is a fighter. He's solid. He won 40 games before that game. And every single game, he wins with a knockout in the second round. And he actually won Frazier, the one who actually, you know, beat Muhammad Ali. And George Foreman, before that game, before that match, he said, you know what? I'm going to kill Muhammad Ali. I want everybody to be scared to face me and fight me. And Muhammad Ali did something very unique. He actually decided to have that match in Africa. To have this match in Zaire, one of the poorest countries of Africa. And like everybody was like, why is he insisting to have that match in Africa? He said, this is my only condition. If you guys want to meet to go and to fight for that match, it has to be in Africa. And he was very smart, because he went to Africa, to Zaire, and then, you know, in the pre-fight build-up, everyone, you know, usually the fighters speak, you know, against each other and all of that. He wasn't concerned about all of this. He was actually talking about the struggle of the Africans and the struggle of the people of Zaire. In the media, he was talking about them. Remember, boxing was not his purpose, was not his ultimate goal. He wanted to help and spread La ilaha illallah and help people. That was his passion. So he started speaking about the struggle of the people of Zaire. And people of Zaire loved him so much, as he's training thousands of people following him. Thousands of people, you know, wanted to say salam to him. They want to take a picture with him. Thousands of people loved him so much. George Foreman, after this match, he said, I was not scared of Muhammad Ali, the boxer. I was scared of Muhammad Ali, the person, the power he has inside, not the physicality. Not the physicality. I was afraid of him. He said, I was afraid of who he is, the principles he stands for. It's just unique. So Muhammad Ali started, you know, that was a big match. I wanted to go and to look at the documentary of Muhammad Ali. It's beautiful. They actually don't have in Zaire, they don't have proper, you know, rings for that kind of matches. So they decided to have this match in the soccer stadium. Around 60,000 people came to watch this match. And some statistics say that almost a quarter of the population of the world got to watch this match in the TV. I want you to imagine this. And he started this fight. And again, Muhammad Ali put all of his, you know, all of his power, his passion. He was just, in that match, he was just, you know, going for something far greater than just a match. So, you know, the match started. And then George Foreman, he was well known by this left punch. And when he got this first, you know, left punch, Muhammad Ali looked at him and said, is this all you got? And then eventually, Muhammad Ali defeated George Foreman in this match. After the match, he said, listen to Muhammad Ali's words after the match. He said, with the power of Allah, we can achieve everything. With the power of Allah, we can win anything. And then he said, I'm here to say that these people in Zaire are struggling. I'm here to say that I'm actually gonna sell my gloves. And he actually sold his gloves with $100,000, and he gave all of this money to the people of Zaire. Muhammad Ali made the insincere people to see his sincerity. He made the most racist people in the world mention the name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with respect. This is what Muhammad Ali did. This is what Muhammad Ali achieved. He made people see the pride of Islam in this land. SubhanAllah, towards his you know, final days, and when he passed away, the world leaders attended his funeral. I remember even Bill Clinton at that time attended his funeral, speaking about his legacy, calling him the greatest in the 1900s, is being called to an African American Muslim brother. That's his achievement. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless his soul. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who follow that legacy. Ameen, ameen, ya rabbal alameen. Wa aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وأقم الصلاة